That is an eye opener. It is so huge. Understanding your money and how to make it work for you.
It's like those commercials for those apps that show you how many subscriptions you have. Like, how many do you, I think I have 6. And it's like, you have 38.
Exactly. So knowing where your money goes, I know where mine does. Mine goes to food. I am proud to talk about that. I am proud to say my money goes to
good food.
It does. And I take everybody along the trip with me. But really,
my belly is grateful. Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep more of what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and before we get started, I have to say this is not financial advice. Sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful entrepreneur and business owner, Paul Ng. Paul, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Ben. Thank you.
One of the things that I enjoy about this podcast is we don't just talk about things that we already know, but in some ways, it's a little bit of a documentation of the journeys that we are on as business owners. We're talking about things that we're doing, things that we want to do, things that we've learned from along the way. And that is the topic of today's episode. We want to talk about how we have learned and grown as business owners and entrepreneurs. I think a lot of times from the outside looking in, it can look like we have, like, you know, if you're looking at other people, you think they have all the answers. They have it all figured out. None of us know what we're doing, truly. We think we do, but we are all figuring it out along the way. We're all learning lessons. And so today, we want to help you, aspiring entrepreneur or young entrepreneur or savvy entrepreneur, by sharing some of the lessons that we have learned along the way. Each of us have prepared three of the most impactful lessons that we have learned in our entrepreneurial journeys, in our journeys as business owners. And our hope and our goal is that you will be able to learn these lessons from us rather than through the hard teacher of experience. There are many lessons that we have learned along the way, so we definitely can't cover everything today, but we would love to hear from you in the comments below what you have learned and share that and get a conversation going amongst the community of followers that we have here on Making Money. You know, we all are cheerleaders for you and your success. And both Paul and I want to see you thrive and grow in your dreams and your endeavors as entrepreneurs and as business owners, or even as, you know, W-2 wage earners looking to make a better life for yourself. The first lesson that I want to talk about is mentors, not heroes. So in my younger days and, you know, in my religious days, I often had, you know, ministers or other people that were like heroes, and they would always fail me, because when you put someone in that hero pedestal, it ends up being too much for any human being to really handle, right? Because we're all flawed. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And over time, I've kind of shifted away from the idea of heroes and moved more toward mentors. And this idea of, like, there's people in your life who they might be there for a season, or they might be there to only teach you one narrow thing, but they are serving a purpose and a role, and they're helpful and they're important and they're valuable, but they're not there to save you, right? They're not your hero. And I really like that juxtaposition and that shift in mentality. It's helped me set expectations in a much healthier way. And the definition of mentor that I came up with is that a mentor is someone who knows something that you don't and can teach you that thing to help you move closer to your goal. And mentors can have a wide range of scope. So a mentor could be someone who's good at advertising, who's teaching you that for 6 months until you get better at it. A mentor could be a family figure, maybe even a parent who teaches about family and marriage and life for decades, right? There's a wide range and scope of people who could be mentors. But I think with that word of mentorship, if you understand it properly, in my opinion, there's an implication of a limitation. Like, they're not going to teach you everything about everything for all time, right? And they're not on this big lofty pedestal. And hopefully over time you outgrow mentors, right? You move on, because that's a sign that you are growing in your capacity as a human being, in your skill sets or whatever the case may be. And that's not a, and then like, that's a thing to celebrate rather than thinking, oh, I thought this person was all that and they're actually not. And so I really like that, that shift in mentality, that mindset. It's been really helpful for me. And I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, it's funny that you bring this up. One of the things that always comes to mind for me as an entrepreneur myself, having mentors in my life and also coaches, it's always a great place to start when you have someone to look up to and someone that can guide you along the way to give you not just teaching and education, but they're able to give you resources that go with that. Because not only is the mentor the person that we respect, and not only is the coach the person that's going to be our backbone, but they're the ones that are also going to give you information for you to utilize and for you to go research. That's what a real good teacher will do, right? They're not just going to teach you everything. They're going to want to teach you not just the basics, but to go a little further, but they want you to understand that you have to do and put forth effort. And that effort really is, I need to go and do some research on my own to validate and to grow and to learn and to make those mistakes on my own. So I just don't do everything because this person says to do this, because then we're just doing it out of osmosis. And this whole experience of being an entrepreneur is to have our ups and downs. It is for us to be human, as we say, so that we do have those flaws that we talk about. So we go a little further and we want to pursue some of these things on our own so we're not just reliant. That's where I want to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's about growth, I think, ultimately. It's about learning to grow and develop either as a person or in a skill set or a group of skill sets, you know, whatever that role is that that mentor is playing. And this is not to say that there's no role in your life for having heroes or idols, people that you really, really admire and look up to in that way. But I prefer to have ones that are dead, because then their mistakes have been made and they're known. There's no surprises that are going to come, hopefully. You know, and so the dead people don't make mistakes.
No, they don't, because the mistakes have already been done. And what's really important to understand is those mistakes is literally what you're going to look for in what you're doing. Because if you're going to make those mistakes that that person made, hopefully you've learned before those mistakes get into a perpetual habit, right? So you're not constantly making that same mistake.
So, Paul, what is your first lesson for us today?
My first lesson is, think of you as an entrepreneur playing baseball.
Okay.
Okay, people are thinking, what do you mean by baseball? Well, there's a pitcher, and there's a catcher, and then there's you.
Okay, so we're at bat.
We're at bat. So life throws at you curveballs, right? And that's what the pitcher is going to do. And you are the person that is going to be batting. So you are the entrepreneur. So you want to hit that ball and you want to hit it good. So it's not about, here, let me just let the catcher keep catching the ball. That's not what we're trying to do. And why do I say that? It's because as an entrepreneur, you're going to be given many, many trials, many, many obstacles. And that's what the pitcher is doing. It's giving you an obstacle. And as the person batting, we want to be able to have answers. We want to be able to have that resource to be able to hit that ball. That means I need strength, right? Or I need good vision, or I need both, or I need coordination, vision, and I need agility. So there's things that we need to build upon. Now, we have a first base, a second base, a third base, and a home run. And those are milestones that we're going to hit each one of those. And every time we hit a milestone, we're going to go to the next base and the next base, and we're going to get home. So the lesson I'm teaching here is when you are in the realm of setting up yourself as the business owner, set those goals. Have those goals written out. And each one of those goals is your milestone. So that teaches you what your next step is going to be. So if you've accomplished one, then you're going to accomplish the second and the third. So it's kind of like your business plan. Step one, step two, step three, everything is methodical. And so what goes along with a baseball team is a coach. Ah, yes, this is where it ties in. The lesson I'm going to teach is use all the strengths and the weaknesses that you have and work with those along with your coach, because your coach will guide you along to teach you and to guide you and to let you know, hey, you need to strengthen your form or you need to strengthen your pitch or whatever it is that you're strengthening, right? And that's going to help you along. And once again, a coach teaches you plays, right? It's got some form to it. So once again, you're going to be learning how to play as the entrepreneur, learning those steps once again, one, two, three. So it's just like a baseball game. There's a coach, there's players, and we got ourselves a game plan.
I really like the idea of having incremental goals. I actually just created a post about why you're doing long-term goals wrong. And because I think the main mistake that people make is they don't connect long-term to short-term to daily action. And you really need to do all three of those steps or the long-term goals just stay dreams.
Absolutely, 100%. I couldn't have put it any way better. Those milestones, the short-term, the long-term goals, the mid-term goals, the right now goals, they all play a part. And the reason why they say there's the short-term, mid-term, and long-term is so you properly plan to get a proper result. I always say that. I've said that from the beginning of our show. Poor planning gives you piss results. It's the same P, but you got to make the P in the right direction.
We want to get proper results for sure and also be flexible with the plans. Like I love, like a famous U.S. general said that plans are worthless, but planning is priceless.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the process of the planning itself is what gives you the context to change the plan as situations or circumstances change. It's not that you're giving up or anything, but you, as you move forward, you gain more information and you realize, oh, these assumptions that I made over here are a little bit off and I need to tweak it. Or actually, this is a little bit higher leverage. I'm going to do this over here instead to reach this goal. But it's in the process of going from those bases, as you were talking about, where you gain that information and then you can adjust accordingly and eventually get back to that home plate.
Absolutely. It's building the momentum. That's what we're talking about.
Kind of along those lines of learning, and you talked about being coached and being coachable, which is a phrase that's often used in sports topics or talk radio or whatever. My second lesson is in the power of being a novice and being willing to be a novice again and again and again. One of the biggest barriers to growth for people is sort of this, we get into this comfort zone of the domain of knowledge, of where we're comfortable and we're familiar. And in order to grow, we have to venture out of that domain into the unknown, which means a willingness to look like a fool again, a willingness to be a beginner, to make mistakes, to sit down, ask questions, learn, adjust habits and behaviors, even long entrenched ones that got us to where we are. But if we want to go somewhere new, there's a new skill, a new idea, a change in habits or behavior. Something has to change before our situation can change and we can move toward the goal. And that's where I like this idea of always being willing to be the novice, being willing to learn. Some of the most successful entrepreneurs, CEOs, business owners in the world right now are ferocious learners. Like Bill Gates reads a lot. And it's because that willingness to be humble and to learn and grow has been such a pivotal part of their success. And they've learned, they've seen that connection between the novice and the success, that they just continue to embrace that mentality. And I think when you do that, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more on that. Proper planning, proper results.
What is your second lesson, Paul?
My second lesson is building upon your target market. I love this one because I love to have networking events, and anyone who knows me knows that I truly enjoy being around people, and it doesn't matter what type of work, industry, walk of life that you possess and are in, I just love to talk to you about it. Some of the greatest experiences I have had in learning is really from these networking events. People within the same industry that I'm involved in, or people in the same arena that I am involved in, it has always been exciting for me to hear their experiences, or from learning what they can give us as examples in education or in real life experience, you name it, I love it. Being able to keep that network is huge, because most of the time we think of a networking event really is schmoozing, right? My arena is way different than having a schmoozing event. Mine is a learning event, and it's a lot of fun. And if you're a quiet and shy person, you won't be for long at my meetings. One of the things is I love for everyone to introduce themselves. And after that, I like to just pick on some people who are quiet and have them put their input. Networking is huge, not just for schmoozing, like I said, but it really is a learning and learned experience. It goes both ways. Learning how they, meaning the other people, function in their world, and being learned is another great attribute that we should all learn to have, meaning that we are malleable. That means we can soak something in and potentially still be a sponge, instead of, no, I know it all, and be very standoffish. No, networking is huge. Networking is getting to know others in your industry and new industries. Also, networking is great. It gives you the opportunity to get out of your shell, out of our comfort zone, as we would call it. Another great thing about networking is you're able to create something with others, meaning that if you have a symbiotic relationship and there's some sort of synergy going on, you're going to share your contacts. You're going to be able to work together so you can help each other out. Being an entrepreneur does not mean you're going to hoard everything and not teach or give. Being an entrepreneur is being able to teach others to become an entrepreneur. Maybe not in your industry, but learning how to be a business owner, not being the person that's high and mighty above everybody else, but really being the person that is a teacher and is also a student. That is the best type of entrepreneur there can be. The best type of entrepreneur is someone that will take education and move further with it, so they will constantly learn and then be able to take that and teach somebody else. And also, being an entrepreneur allows you to be a good listener as also a good director or teacher. So we don't always make ourselves into this high and mighty. So networking allows you to utilize those skills. Networking allows you to branch out and allow someone else to branch in. So my lesson there is, reach out, present yourself to others, mingle with others, and be in that moment with others.
My quote for this year is, and it's not like my quote in terms of what something I came up with, but my quote for this year is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that theme of networking and connecting with other people has been really big for me, because like as an introvert, I'm very comfortable working alone. I do it a lot as an appraiser anyway, and it can be easy to get complacent in this mindset of, oh, it's just me and my little thing, and I just do that for forever. But I think you miss out on so much joy, fulfillment, opportunity, lessons, etc., by having that kind of isolationist mindset. And then it's something that I've been really taking initiative and steps to come out of that shell, to go to more of these networking events, to put myself out there. Not that I feel shy or insecure by any means, but just it's work and effort that sometimes doesn't always immediately feel like it's worth it or it's giving a return. But as time has gone on, I've realized, no, most of the best things that have come to me in my life have been the result of networking, of reaching out and taking that initiative. And the more I sit back and think about that, the more I realize I need to do more and more of it, because if I want to continue to grow and hit these lofty goals that I have, then it's going to take other people.
Oh, it does. The world was not meant for us to be alone. It really wasn't. And really, it's all about being in the now. I'm going to use that one. So Oprah had a, I guess, I'm not sure what it's called. She had a show, and it was separate from her Oprah show, and it was called The New Earth, if I recall correctly, many, many years ago. We're talking about 10 plus years ago. And she focused on a author named Eckhart Tolle, and he is a great novel writer, speaker, mentor, coach, and he wrote a book, and it was based upon being present, basically. And it's really important for us to be in the presence of now and not try to be something we're not. You know, don't let the ego take control, as they would say. You know, and as you were just speaking, I feel, you know, the word extrovert comes to mind instead of introvert. So I feel that each one of us should take that step to learn how to step out of our comfort zone and be a little bit of an extrovert for a couple of minutes a day. Not like you have to go out and reach out to five people and touch five people, as they all say, but, you know, make it a point to greet somebody and make it a point to give compliments, because that makes you a little more of an extrovert than we just walk by our coworkers or walk by in general public. I mean, if you see someone that needs help, offer help if you can. You know, make yourself a little more available to the world.
Sometimes it's easy to underestimate the value that we bring to others and the value that others can bring to us. And you don't really have the ability to see the scope of that value until you start really interacting and engaging. And I like what you said earlier about coming at it from a spirit of teaching or of giving. It's, you know, we don't want to network from a standpoint of always like, oh, what can I get out of this person? Because people will sniff that out. They sense that, and they'll be less inclined to want to work with you or network with you. But if you are approaching relationships from a standpoint, from the abundance mindset that we've talked about before, from that standpoint of generosity, you're going to get a much better response from people, and you're going to be more equipped to see the gold that is in the other person that they have to offer, because you're not coming with your prospector hat and a pickaxe trying to take it right away. You're coming from a perspective of showing kindness and interest in them and building a real relationship rather than just a transactional one.
Absolutely. And be genuine about it. You know, don't make it so clinical. Be very genuine and know from your heart this is what you want to do, not because someone told you to.
My final lesson for today, and maybe we'll do this again sometime, because the more I was working on this podcast, the more things I was thinking of, and I was having to filter out and decide what was going to be included or not included. But my third lesson is find your distinct advantage and maximize it. So I think back to my video game days, which I still play on occasion, but it's so occasional that I'm just bad at everything now. But back in my younger days when I played more video games, if there was a particular move or combo that worked really well on a boss, I would spam the hell out of that thing until the boss was defeated. And like, if I found a button that worked, I'd just mash it until it didn't work anymore. And I think sometimes in business, it actually is like the best thing to do. A lot of times as entrepreneurs, we're very inclined to move toward the novel or the new, or we think that other people are bored of our ad because we've seen it 50 times, but they may not have even seen it once, right? And if you have a lead generation magnet or an advertisement campaign or a product or a service or something that's really working, like, just spam the hell out of that thing, because the market is way bigger than you think it is, probably. And your ads are not nearly as tired or worn out as you think they are. And I'll give you the real example, like, from my business. So, you know, I moved to Denver in 2022 during the worst time to be an appraiser in 30 years, because mortgage rates were going up and new mortgage applications dropped 80% in 1 year. Like, crazy, crazy drop in work. And I show up, like, I'm ready to build an appraisal business, you know, during the Great Appraisal Depression. But I was able to do it. And I was able to do it because I realized, okay, I have two advantages. One, I'm willing and able to do work that other people don't want to do. And two, I can do it quickly and with enough quality that people are really happy about it. And so that's just what I did. And I said that that's my foot in the door, because I know once I can build a reputation of being reliable and fast, then I'll get the easier work. It'll come. But I got to start with the work that other people don't want to do, especially now in a time where, again, mortgage applications dropped by 80%. And I've just spammed that, you know, and to this day, I continue to do work that others don't want to do, and sometimes for less money than I would really prefer to do it. But it's often in the spirit of, this is how I'm building my reputation. This is my distinct advantage in this market. And it's been a strategy that's worked really well for me to this point.
I think doing what you do best is the very first thing, because you never want to produce bad product or bad service. And offering yourself when others are not, I think where you're going with what you're producing for somebody and taking jobs for less, you're producing your best product to them, even though you're taking less money. It doesn't mean you have to give them less work, right? But you're able to show your skill and your ability so that whoever the recipient of your product is that they're getting, they can see that, oh, this guy does amazing. This guy, even on time, this guy is willing to take us even though, you know, it's a bad market or whatever the situation is, right? You give forth your best foot. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to overextend yourself. It means that you want to produce something that others will be proud of outside of your being proud of yourself.
And I've heard many no's along the way. I've heard many no's from people saying, oh, you know, we don't have enough work for the appraisers we already have. I heard one this week. I found one of the top lenders in the Denver market, found the AMC they work through, applied, and they said, sorry, we're not onboarding anyone right now. And I've heard that many, many times, but I've just been very persistent and consistent. And sometimes I've knocked on a door multiple times to try and get that door open and be like, because I know, like, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to blow you away. So it's just about getting the opportunity. But also, like, now, like, because I've been able to build the business to a certain point, now I'm able to expand the business. I'm expanding into the private sector, doing, you know, estate appraisals or appraisals for other purposes that are not for lenders. Building a website, doing ad campaigns, networking with estate attorneys, things like that. And I'm able to do that in part because I built this reputation. I built this business. I have a track record. I can say, like, look at all these houses that I've done. I've done really weird, unique condos in Vail. I've done 40-acre estates with three barns out in East Colorado and everything in between. And I have a lot of those, you know, a lot of those jobs that now I can hang my hat on were ones that others didn't want to do because they're complex or because they're 3 hours away from Denver or, you know, any number of other reasons. And so that strategy of find my advantage, maximize it, has paid dividends in ways that I didn't even initially anticipate. Like, at first, I'm just trying to make a buck, right? I'm trying to live and survive. But now I have this whole repertoire of properties that I could point to and say, I know, look, all these things that I've done, I know how to do this. I know how to handle this because I've done it before.
I love it. Experience talks. It really does. And once again, you're giving forth your best efforts. You know, knowing and understanding your target market, as I'm going to say, knowing and understanding your abilities, two things that are huge. You know who to approach for the market share out there that you're working with, and you know what your skill set is. Sometimes entrepreneurs don't know both of those because they're just throwing darts, trying to figure out what's going to stick and am I going to get a bullseye because I chose this client or this industry. That's nice and all, but that means you didn't have your goals. You did not have your milestones. You did not put forth the effort in making your tickler list, whatever you want to call the darn thing, right? But knowing your target market is huge. And then knowing what you can present to them, huge.
Understanding what they want, what they prioritize, and then being able to just double down on giving that. You know, like I understand lenders, the main thing they care about most of the time is how fast it gets back to them. Yeah. You know, that's because for them, you know, and that's part of the reason why the appraisal industry is kind of a commoditized market, which maybe we'll talk about sometime, the difference between commoditized and differentiated market, because it's a really important thing. Yes. But I understand what my clients really care about, and they'll just really focus on delivering that. And the results have been very favorable. What is your final lesson for us today, Paul?
Let's go there. So our podcast is making money and making it work for you, right? So let's talk about what that really means. That to me is making money. So now I have to figure out what I'm going to do with that money. That means budgets. Understanding your budgets and not to go beyond that budget. And if you do, be very wise about it. And that sounds like a boring topic, but it really isn't, because once you realize what your budget is and you see where your spending habits are, that is an eye opener. It is so huge, understanding your money and how to make it work for you.
It's like those commercials for those apps that show you how many subscriptions you have. Like, how many do you, I think I have 6. And it's like, you have 38.
Exactly. So knowing where your money goes. I know where mine does. Mine goes to food. I am proud to talk about that. I am proud to say my money goes to
good food.
It does. And I take everybody along the trip with me. But really,
my belly is grateful.
But really, understanding your budgets, it's huge to know where your money comes from. So that's your market out there, your target audience out there. That's where the money's coming from. So you need to know who and where, and that means who is the people, and where is that your service or product? That's number one. Number two is your spending habits. I know that's a horrible thing to think about, because a lot of times it really is the entertainment. It's the personal spending, because we're an entrepreneur, and we're told that we can write off, and I'm slowing my tone, that we can write off all of those meals, all of that entertainment, all that fun that we're doing, all those sports games and bars and events we're going to. Well, you have to understand what part of that is expensible. So that's where the budget comes into play, and it's huge. Knowing how to keep track of where your budget is and the receipts that go with that budget. There are steps that go with a budget. It's not just I put down some numbers on a spreadsheet and I'm in key and I'm in the realm. I'm in the right dollar amount. I'm within a ratio. Great. That's lovely. But really, once you start seeing those receipts and you start really keeping track, it's an eye opener. And that's where you can literally learn where your money goes. And that's a whole topic all in itself that we've spent time on to talk about. But once again, really, utilize a coach. Utilize the networking that you have established and work within those budgets. I mean, those are the three key points I would love for all of you to kind of think over and really brainstorm how it will benefit you as an entrepreneur or as you as a family man, whether you have family with husband or wife or kids, or a family man of yourself and your fur babies.
I'll give you a frame that I've recently adopted for thinking about money and budgets and expenses, specifically discretionary spending. Every dollar that I spend is a dollar that's not working toward my goal. If it's not an investment, right? If I'm not, you know, if I'm buying ad for a business, you know, that's an investment in the business, right? But every dollar that I spend on these extra vacations or that car that, you know, cause like, oh yeah, my car's paid off, but I want something new and keep up with the Joneses, or, you know, I order all this stuff off Amazon, or, you know, I'm going to upgrade the flooring in my house because I want it to look nice or whatever. And, you know, and then like, it's not that you can't do any of those things, but when you put it in the context of this $5,000 or this $1,000 or this $100 is extra X amount of time it'll take me to reach this goal, is that really worth it to me? And framing that way, I think really helps A, keep those goals and those plans in front and center and focus, because we're so easily distracted by this and that and the other. But two, it really puts into context the true cost. It's not just a $5,000 vacation. It's $5,000 that now is not working for me and working toward my goals. Now, maybe you decide, I haven't had a vacation in 5 years. I want to do it anyway. And that's fine. Like, do that. But do it from an informed, objective perspective, rather than tricking yourself into, oh, it'll be fine. Because I found like my habit that I've really worked hard to break out of is if I'm like just wanting to spend that money, is I just won't think about it. You know, I won't think about that mental exercise of, well, how much is this actually costing me in terms of progress toward a goal? But if I'm trying to avoid thinking about it, it's probably because I know I shouldn't do it.
Agreed.
So those are six lessons from Paul and myself that we learned in life and in business and entrepreneurship. And we hope that all of these lessons have been really fruitful for you, that you feel like you've really got something from this podcast. And if you have, we would like you to think of one person right now in your contact list that you think would benefit from this show, and go ahead and text them the link, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on one of the many podcast apps that are out there, Spotify or Apple or Amazon, Samsung, whatever your app of choice may be. Go ahead and share the link. Pick one person in your profile. We would greatly appreciate it. It's the only way this podcast will grow. And we thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.